The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
It's nice to be here and to see some faces in the Zoom room, some that I recognize. Hello, everyone, and welcome to everyone who's streaming on YouTube. Nice to see all of you from around the world. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. So today, I thought to reflect on being aware while thinking. We often in meditation practice have a kind of a conflict or a sense of struggle around thinking that, you know, if we're practicing a concentration practice, for instance, where we're attuning to particular object of experience and trying to stay with that experience, then thoughts, how we relate to thoughts in that case is we notice that we're thinking, we set aside the thought, we come back to the object. Or we might, if the thinking is strong, explore what's the impact of the thinking. We might look at a little bit of the effect of thinking on the body, or the effect of thinking on our emotions. We rarely, in meditation, we rarely get many instructions about what it means to be aware while thinking. We often in meditation are instructed, let go of the content of the thought, you know, let go of what's happening in the thought and turn to the experience that's happening. And so I just wanted to explore a little bit around this terrain of being aware while thinking, because it is a big part of our lives. We use thoughts to navigate our world, and if we haven't explored or practiced or even had the sense of the possibility that we can be mindful, aware while thinking, there's like huge parts of our day that are off limits for mindfulness practice. If we think that while I'm thinking or engaged in something, even something quite active, like, you know, writing an email or something like that, then there's a lot going on in our day that we won't be able to explore, connect with mindfulness. So in the guided meditation, I offered an exploration of receptive awareness. And this kind of awareness is I find very supportive, particularly in daily life practice. It is my main practice, whether I'm in sitting meditation or in daily life, but it's the same practice, whether I'm in sitting meditation or in daily life. The instructions are the same, just receiving what's happening moment after moment, receiving and being aware of experience, noticing where the attention is drawn, including with thoughts. One big difference, or one big place to kind of be curious about, is what does it mean to be aware with the content of our thoughts? And this is again in some of our more focused meditation practices, we don't generally engage with content. We're usually trying to drop below content and explore more the bare experience. But again, in navigating our lives, how content affects us is really a big part of where we get caught and lost, and a big part of how we struggle in our relationship to the ideas that come at us, the political ideas, a big place where we get caught and struggle, the relational experiences we get caught in. I wanted my friend to do this and they did this. And we respond. We have a lot of struggle around the content of our experience. And so learning how to navigate this terrain, not saying, okay, content, drop the content and just come into body, and but what is it like to be aware with content? So a great place to begin this exploration is right in the meditation. As we explored in the guided meditation, when the mind wanders and returns from wandering, this is a place where we can begin exploring the effect of content on our experience. So in the guided meditation, I encouraged after the mind had wandered, noticing what was present in the moment. Because when the mind wanders, as I said, when the mind wanders, it's wandering often into thought. It may be wandering into some charged thoughts, kind of active content of mind. It can wander into charged thoughts. It can wander into more drifting thoughts. Those are two classes or categories of thinking that are useful to kind of recognize the difference between. So the active kind of thinking often has a very strong effect on us when we're kind of charging out to think about something. So when the mindfulness returns there, when the mindfulness comes back, the experience of the present moment where mindfulness has returned will have been shaped by the content. When we've gotten lost in the content, the experience of the present moment will have been shaped by the content of those thoughts. If you've been thinking about a conversation you had with a partner or a coworker that had some charged content, when your mindfulness returns, very likely that content will have shaped some of those same charged feelings. So this is a beginning place to begin to recognize, okay, content affects experience. Those thoughts, when the mindfulness returns, often we know when the content is charged, often we are aware of the content as we come back. We know that we've been thinking about that conversation and what the content of that was. So we know that the content was there. And then how has that affected you? And so this is a beginning way to, in that moment, as mindfulness returns, to be aware of the thought with the content and how it affects you at the same time. So this, again, is a kind of more receptive or broader kind of awareness. You're not aiming at one particular area of experience, trying to say, look at the body or see what the emotions are. It's more, there's this thought that's been happening. Receive the effect that it's had. And it may be a little bit in the body, a little bit in emotions. You may notice many things. So it's a kind of a broader receiving of what has happened, having had those thoughts. Also with receptive awareness, in the practice of receptive awareness, that continuing, just you've become aware, you've noticed, this has been the thought, here's how it's affected the body, the mind. Then just continue to notice what else is happening. After a certain period of exploring, that's what happened. Then something else might arise. You might hear the dog start barking next door and the attention goes to that. That's fine. There's no place or object or thing particularly you need to come back to. Now, in the place when you have returned from a wandering, especially if the content has been charged. You know, there can be in noticing the experience, noticing what's there, there can be a kind of a pull back to figure something out or try to fix something or figure out how to respond to that person. So there may be some tension in the system. What can I do? Maybe you can notice that too. The feeling of those thoughts kind of propelling the mind to want to do something. So notice the wanting. Notice the desire to fix, to figure out, to control. That too can be known. And if at some point the pull to the thinking feels so strong that it's like hard to resist, then it might be useful to come back to something where you land, like we started in the guided meditation, land and receive the breath for a few moments. Receive the breath as a skillful means to support the mind, remembering what it's like to be back in the present moment, and to support perhaps letting go of that pull to the thinking. But giving yourself some time to explore what it's like to be, and what I mean by the pull to thinking is the pull to thinking and not being mindful of it. If the thinking is happening and you can be aware, oh, wow, the thought of wanting to do this, you know, wanting to figure this out, oh, and that's how this is affecting the body and mind. Oh, and this thought, what about that thing I could, oh, and there, that's how that's affecting the body and mind. That's not being pulled out of mindfulness. And so there's a learning here that what does it mean to be aware while we're thinking? We so often might have the view or the idea that if we are thinking, it means we're not being mindful. But this is where this kind of receptive awareness practice, which explores just being aware of whatever is happening, can potentially support us to recognize, well, I'm aware. I know that I'm thinking. And so the awareness is here. We can be aware while thinking. And in that being aware while thinking, it is often a little bit of a broader awareness. And there's the awareness of the thought, the awareness of the content of the thought, and awareness of how that whole set of thoughts and ideas, that content affects the system. So it's not a close in or focused awareness. It's much broader. There's these thoughts, and this is how I am with those thoughts. Carol Wilson uses the phrase 360-degree mindfulness, which is a beautiful expression of just taking in the experience, not just thinking or seeing or hearing or body sensation, but the kind of the whole picture. Sayadaw Utejaniya, the teacher, one of the main teachers I've learned this practice of receptive awareness from, he used a phrase 50-50 mindfulness, where he said 50% of the attention on what you're doing, the content of what's happening, and 50% of the attention on how you are with that, so that there's not the sense of the content being something outside of the mindfulness. And that the 360-degree awareness encapsulates that to some extent too. So aware of content and how you are with that content. So that moment of remembering does begin to give a sense of what it might be like to be aware with content. So it can be useful, as I said, to kind of recognize different kinds of thinking. The active thinking or the charged thinking, where the mind feels like it's just rushing out of the present moment, grabbing onto those thoughts, and there's some energy to thinking about them. We can call that active thinking. Then there's another kind of thinking that's more, the mind just kind of drifts out of the present moment. No particular emotional charge there. It's just like the mind just picks up on something and just floats out of the present moment. Often, maybe a sense of random thoughts in that place, or hypnagogic thoughts, dreamlike thoughts can happen in that place. Just a drifting. So they're very different, those two. In terms of the experience, the active thinking, with the active thinking, it's useful to recognize, the kind of the charge that happens with the active thinking. So really, it may be useful in that situation to know there's the content, and recognizing kind of the category of content. Planning or remembering or fighting or judging or fantasizing. If the content is really, really strong, not to say completely step out of the content, but also let more of the attention be in the body and in the mind than in the content. Because the content may be kind of the sticky place there. But, staying connected with the content to some extent, oh, the mind is really caught in that plan. Stuff is in that plan, and wow, the mind is spinning with that plan. With the drifting kind of thinking, often in that situation, as I said in the guided meditation, in the active thinking, when we remember, when we return from thinking, often the experience will have been shaped by the emotions, the thoughts, the content of that thinking. So often there will be have some agitation that will have arisen, and that's a useful thing to kind of just check into, especially if you're exploring this in daily life. I'm kind of talking about it more in the sitting meditation, but I'd like to also point to bringing this into daily life. In daily life, if you notice that you've woken up into active thinking, often there's a little less. In the sitting meditation, we don't have as much to do. We're not as potentially having to make a decision on the spot about something. So we can explore a little bit more. Okay, there's these thoughts, and here's how they're affecting the body and mind. In daily life, with active thinking, if you wake up into active thinking, you're walking down the street, and suddenly you realize your mind has been like pulled into this whole scenario. A useful exploration there can be just a simple check-in. So noticing, wow, the mind is kind of caught and it's spinning. And just notice kind of the agitation of body and mind that may be there, just in a kind of a simple way. You don't have to do a detailed exploration. The receptive awareness is really useful for this too. The receptive awareness in daily life can take in a much broader kind of experience, kind of the 360 degree awareness, or the wide angle lens. It doesn't have to land. Mindfulness doesn't have to land on specific experience. It can be much broader. And so in the awareness of thinking in our daily lives, just notice, oh, this is what's happening. So yesterday I was taking a walk, and I was noticing some thoughts about not wanting to be taking the walk. I was noticing that I was tired, and I know that when I'm tired, it's actually a really good time to take a walk, but there was resistance. There was resistance to taking the walk. And so I was noticing the mind. I was noticing the thoughts about that. And what I noticed is that when I, so sometimes the mind would get a little caught in it, a little tight, and it felt like there was a squeezing in the mind. So that was a simple kind of piece. It's just this feeling of squeezing. And then noticing those thoughts, I just was hanging out with them. I wasn't like saying, oh, let go of that squeezing. It's just like, oh, the mind is squeezing with this thought. And then, as in being with it, it's like for a few moments, after a few moments, the squeezing would let go, and it'd be like, oh yeah, not wanting to take this walk, and yeah, it's okay. Just not wanting to do this is happening, but there's not the extra resistance to not, like the the trying to get out of the walk while I'm walking. So just the way the mind works. So the mind could see that squeezing and just like, oh yeah, wow, the mind is really, wow, look at how hard the mind does not want to be here. And then it would release. And then it would come back. And I just watch this process. Just watch this process multiple times. I'd say maybe 10 minutes into the walk, it had finally, the mind had finally let go of those thoughts of, I don't want to be doing this. I don't want to be doing this. And it was just fine to be walking. I could have powered through the walk in any case, kind of repressed all of those thoughts and just powered through the walk, which is what I used to do. But then, the mind kind of is in that situation, the mind is kind of reinforcing the aversion. It's reinforcing those thoughts of, if I just bear down and get this over with, it'll be okay. It's kind of just reinforcing all of that. Encouraging, reinforcing that, oh, look, I bore down and I got through this, and here I am done with the walk. That really worked. But it's like you can get done with the walk without bearing down and forcing it too. So, just to explore that, the possibility of being aware with the thoughts, as opposed to the idea, I need to get rid of the thoughts in order to be okay. Just aware of those thoughts, aware while thinking. There's a lot that we can see in this terrain, especially in the sitting practice when we explore being aware while thinking in the sitting practice, noticing thoughts arising. We can start to see how those thoughts are conditioned. We can see a thought will often arise based on something that has happened. A thought, we hear a sound. We have a perception. We hear a bird outside. And then we perhaps recognize the kind of bird. Oh, that's a crow. And then we see an image, perhaps. We even see an image of the crow and imagine what the crow is doing. And then we start thinking about crows. We start thinking about the crows in our backyard and what they do there. And then the mind maybe gets lost. So we start to see, and we can start to see too, that's a very habitual way for our mind to get lost, but we can actually be aware of how that all happens and notice that it is conditioned. How a thought, a perception will create a memory. We'll think about that memory, and then perhaps that memory can create emotions. So all of that arising from a perception leading to thought. We can stay present for the process. And sometimes, as we stay present for the process, very naturally, what happens is, and this is kind of funny and paradoxical, but very naturally, what happens is, as we attend to the process of thinking, very naturally, the process of thinking begins to diminish. Like we see the thought, we see or we see the perception of crow, we see the thought of crow, we see the mind start thinking about crows, we feel an emotion, and we recognize, oh yeah, this is all a conditioned process. And with the awareness, instead of then launching into the emotions and further thoughts that are spurred from that emotion, the whole thing can sometimes fall away. And so, in a paradoxical way, being able to learn how to be aware while thinking helps the mind to engage less with reactive thinking, to engage less with unnecessary thinking. This is something I've seen happening a lot in my, a real lessening in my life around the mind just kind of going off into random, thinking, because I'm much more present. And so there's a lot more of a sense that the thinking that happens more is the kind of thinking that's useful. What do I need to do today? How do I need to do it? What would I like to bring to this? What kind of attitudes or mind states would I like to bring to what I need to do today? Can I be kind today with what I need to do? Can I recognize when I'm caught in reactivity? So another way, and especially in daily life, to begin to explore this terrain of being aware with content. Because this, again, this is a huge place. This is a huge place where we tend to lose mindfulness or just not think it's possible to be mindful, is to slow it down a little bit. You know, the thoughts happen pretty fast, I'd say. Thoughts are pretty quick moving. And so it's not always that easy to catch thoughts and to be aware while thinking. It is possible. And the more we practice with it, the more possible it becomes. But to practice with the content of our thoughts, often at first we do notice that we're thinking, and then how does it affect us? So it's a little bit of that back and forth. We can do the same thing in daily life around content. And a great place to explore this is with reading and writing. So with reading, essentially you're taking in the content of someone else's mind, unless you're reading your own stuff, in which case you're taking in the contents of your prior self's mind. So you're taking in the content, you're taking in content. So how does that content affect you when you read? So with reading, you can slow it down. And I play with this sometimes, especially in reading the news. It's like, read a headline. How does that land? Take in the content. How does that content affect the system? Words are so powerful for us. A single word can shape your experience. A single word can have an effect on your experience. And so reading a headline, multiple words, with a concept embedded in that, that can have a very powerful effect on your experience. And so become aware of that. So read a headline. How does that land? So you can slow it down with reading. Read a couple of sentences, read a paragraph, pause. So this might take a remembering, you know, perhaps you could, if you do your news reading online, maybe you could put a little reminder to yourself somewhere to try to practice with this, help yourself try to remember to do this. What does it mean? How does this content affect the body, the mind? Read a few paragraphs, check in, read some more, check in. Notice if you start getting charged. Perhaps if you start getting charged and the mind starts kind of picking up and running out of the present moment, justifying your position, denying somebody else's position, maybe that's a time to really let yourself settle in again. It's like, okay, wow, really charged right now. This is what it feels like to be charged. With writing, we can also slow that down some. With writing, you are, you know, investigating or looking at the content. You're trying to share the content of your mind with somebody else or with yourself. So it's more aligned with or more like thinking in a way. It's a slowed down thinking process to put things down in writing. And so you can explore this also. It's like while writing, you know, maybe have a practice of while writing a text or an email or a tweet. How does it feel? How is this content, these thoughts affecting this system? Is there agitation or is there ease while creating this content? That simple check Is there agitation or ease with this content? Hugely helpful. It can be that simple. You don't have to know the details of what the kind of emotion is, or it's just like, is there energy like this, or is the energy like this? So recognizing that with the content that you are thinking of sharing. And potentially also, you know, this is a way into exploring being mindful while speaking as well. You might also reflect before you send that text or tweet or email. How might the person who is the audience receive it? So kind of like, it's almost like in that moment, putting yourself in their shoes, feeling like the recipient of it. How does that land if you were to receive this communication? Again, using mindfulness with content. There's some other kinds of thinking. I'll just talk a little bit about the drifting thinking first, which I mentioned in the guided meditation. Working with drifting thinking has been a wonderful practice for me. It's been delightful, actually. What, in my own experience, I've seen is often that kind of thinking comes where the mind just kind of drifts out of the present moment. It's like there's some settledness of mind. You know, there's some settledness because the mind isn't picking up on its habits, its tendencies. It's just kind of floating. And there's a when it gets into that kind of floaty space, sometimes we just lose touch with remembering to be mindful there. And so that kind of floating quality, when we find ourselves having floated out of the present moment and waking back up into that, then what I've seen often, you know, so like the recognition of the content of thoughts there is usually not that relevant. What the content of those thoughts is often kind of random or dreamlike or nonsensical. And so the content isn't as much to work with there as it is potentially kind of recognizing how you've noticed those thoughts. So there's different modalities that we can think in. We can think in images. We can think as if we're talking to ourselves. We can think as if we're hearing somebody else talk to us. So hearing and seeing are two of the big ways most of us think, you know, through as if we were hearing or seeing. So there's an internal sense of hearing or seeing. There's also, we can also think through any of the sense bases. So we can think as though we were kind of in a kinesthetic way. We can, when I was a dancer, I would also often like play the dance through in my mind. And that, so it's a form of thought, you know, as if I were doing it and I would feel it. It would be like feeling it in my body. That's how I would think through the dance. So there's that possibility of thinking kinesthetically. And as an example of that, maybe right now, if you're sitting down, you could just explore. Imagine standing up. Is there just a little bit of a sense of in the body, some kind of sense of that experience? Sometimes you can experience that or recognize that, sometimes not. Just that's maybe a little pointer to what it's like to have that kinesthetic thinking. So we can think in these multiple ways. And so with the drifting thinking, it can be useful to recognize, how is that thinking? How is that thinking happening? Images, words. And then we can start to recognize, perhaps we can start to recognize, instead of being caught by those images or thoughts, sounds in the mind, we can recognize, oh, the mind has got these images going. And again, we don't have to stop them. It was so interesting to me when I learned this on a retreat to just see, oh, the mind will put up these, like, it's like a slideshow. It's thinking about being in Prague when I was traveling in Czechoslovakia, and I get these images, these like still images of various places I was, and it lasted for like, you know, 5-10 seconds, and then it stopped, and I was present for the entire slideshow. It was quite a delightful experience, actually. Remembering that experience, there was a little bit of the flavor of having been there. But because I was present, the mind didn't kind of pick up on those thoughts and then go off into being in Prague for 15 minutes. It lasted for about 10 seconds and then it went on. And so if, again, aware while thinking, aware of this process of thinking. So those drifting kind of thoughts, sometimes useful to recognize how they are experienced, the modality in which they are experienced. And if the mind does drift out of the present moment, gets lost in the wandering, then that moment of returning, you know, as I expressed in the guided meditation again, sometimes if the mind has drifted out of the present moment, when we wake up, when our mindfulness returns from that drifting, if we do not have the attitude or the idea or the agenda that the thinking was a problem, it's just like, oh, mindfulness is back. What's happening in this moment? If we don't have any sense of it having been a problem for the mind to be drifting and not mindful, then what often happens after a drifting is that the mind is actually more at ease and more relaxed than it was before the mind drifted. And this was a huge help for me. It's almost like I was feeling like I was definitely, you know, an overstriver, really hanging on to that mindfulness, trying to stay present moment after moment, doing the practice so hard, so much attachment to the practice. And as I began to be curious about this moment when mindfulness returns, and seeing the mind returning from the drifting, it was almost like what it felt like the mind was doing was telling me, you're working too hard. Here, I'll show you how to relax. And if I was available for that lesson when the mindfulness came back, it was like, oh, this is what it's like to be mindful and at ease at the same time. This is what it's like to be relaxed while being aware. And so that exploration around the drifting mind can be really enlightening. It can be really, really supportive for helping the mind recognize what it means to be at ease with mindfulness. So, yeah, I see we have about 5 minutes left, and let's see if there's any questions. Those of you in the Zoom room, you could raise your Zoom hand, I think, or use the chat. Those of you on the live stream could type a question in. Probably not able to get to many questions in just 5 minutes, but I think Kevin will moderate the questions. If there's any questions.
Yeah, we'll give people some time to raise their hand or put questions in chat on YouTube. Or if you feel like it, you can put your questions in chat in Zoom as well, and we'll take them there. Hey, Tom and Dana, if you guys want to come off mute and ask questions, we can go ahead.
Hi, Andrea.
Hi, Dana.
When I'm aware of my thoughts and the breath, I also am aware of this base note of anxiety. So there are three things cooking. What should I do?
So you could explore it by just knowing all of it. So there's the thought, you said the breath, the thought, and the base anxiety. Mm-hmm. You could just explore, wow, that's what's happening. You know, just like, okay, yes. And is the content of the thought kind of connected with that anxiety? You know, mm-hmm. So is it something else? You know, is something else, because sometimes the thoughts are kind of popping out of the base of our emotional terrain. And sometimes they create our emotional terrain. There's a kind of, but it's conditioned both ways. And so kind of curious about, well, what's the relationship between those thoughts and the anxiety? And if the anxiety feels strong, you know, then it's possible that with the mindfulness of it, you know, that the attention might kind of gravitate towards that side of the experience. In being aware while thinking, we don't have to preference, also don't have to preference the content. It's like with receptive awareness, it's more, wow, I become aware of the breath, the thought, the anxiety. What's most obvious here? What's most obvious, and where does the attention kind of feel like it's most drawn to, so that we don't have to choose what to pay. With the receptive awareness, it's more like we don't have to decide where we direct the attention. It's more like, can I allow this to be as it is, and what is most wanting attention right now? If the mindfulness can hold that, If the mindfulness doesn't get lost while holding that, so if there can be an allowing sense of, oh yeah, this is what's happening, and that anxiety is there, these thoughts are there, here's the breath. If the mindfulness can hold that, kind of a patience and a trust that there is learning that's happening. But if you find that the attention is kind of drawn into the anxiety and starts thinking more thoughts, then it could be useful to direct the attention to something that where you can stay present, maybe with the breath, for instance, or if the breath feels tied up with the anxiety, maybe with hearing, so that there's some skillful means. If it feels like the mind is pulled into the thinking and it's like it can't not go there, then it's useful to do some directed attention to something that allows you to stay present. But from what you described, it sounds like there's some capacity to just know all of that. So some of it is trust, you know, trust that there is learning happening here. We like to be in charge of the learning. You know, we like to know what we're learning. Sometimes we don't get to know that. You know, sometimes the Buddha talked about the practice being very gradual, very you know, moment after moment, the mindfulness just meets experience. And he speaks about the wearing away of the reactivity being like the wearing away of the rigging of a rope that's hauled up on dry land after being at sea for 6 months. You know, just like the sun, the sand, the wind kind of wears away the rigging. And, you know, after 6 months, it's going to be more worn. After 2 years, it'll be kind of broken and rotted through. And so the, you know, the mindfulness functions like that, moment after moment, minute after minute, hour after hour, even day after day, we may not see what's being let go or what's being worn down. And so some patience and some trust that the practice of being aware is enough. Being aware with the quality of mind that is allowing it to be as it is. And that exploration of knowing that what that experience is, where the mind can be present and not pulled into That's the crucial piece. Be curious about what is this experience. When there can be that curiosity, the learning will kind of naturally unfold there. So thank you for the question, and I'm sorry for the rest of you who put in questions. It's time. So thank you all for your practice, and may the benefits of our practice together be shared with all beings everywhere. May all beings be healthy, happy, safe, and at ease. May all beings know peace. Thank you all.